The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What's up, gentlemen?
Good morning.
How are we doing?
Hi.
I can't see you, so I just assumed you were there.
I can't see you either.
Okay, then. That's a common problem.
I see a
problem.
Lot of colored bars.
Yes,
looks
I
like
see
a
that,
rainbow.
Too.
There's a thing bouncing up and down in the middle.
Down, up, down, up.
How am I going to do this 4 hours just sit here and stare at four colored bars
yeah,
across
I
the
know.
Screen?
Yeah, I know. That's going to be distracting, isn't it?
It's a time code, 10:03, 27, 28, 29. At least I know what time it is.
Welcome in to Zolak and Bertrand here on this Thursday. It is June 25th. We've been without sports for how many days now? 110-ish? Something like that?
Yeah. Feels like double.
Are we getting closer? Are we getting closer? Please tell us we're getting closer. There's an anonymous poll of NBA GMs about their plan to go to Orlando, which is now just a little over a month away to start playing games. General managers in the NBA have spoken anonymously to The Athletic. Sam Amick wrote the story for The Athletic. He writes that some are terrified. GMs in the NBA are terrified, not only for the people who could spend up to 3 months in COVID-19 ravaged Florida starting in mid-July, but also for the incredible damage the league could incur for years to come if too many players test positive and it all comes crashing down. One GM said, quote, if the cases keep spiking in Florida, things are going to happen. I'm really, really concerned for the league big picture-wise in many, many ways. Sam Amick writes that others are mildly concerned, trusting Commissioner Adam Silver and his staff for their health and safety protocols memo, which is 113 pages long, by the way. 113
That's
pages.
A big one.
Yeah, that was the one we were referencing last week. The more than 100 pages were sent.
Yes.
The, yeah.
It's 113 is the number. And I could have saved them all of that paper by telling them, don't let the employees go home at night. You can't have the employees going home at night and coming back every day. That's where this thing all falls apart and will fall apart if they
right.
go forward with this. I am confident of that.
You should have paid them double. Like, the amount of money that these leagues have, like, pay somebody double and force, not force them, but ask them to, hey, commit yourself to want to stay here and help us take care so we could shut this down as much as we can. And they don't do it. But, I mean, even going back, go back to March when this stuff all broke. Remember how terrified we were when this virus first hit? And not that you're not terrified now, but how many times you washed your hands, how much you stayed in your house, how no one went, only one person went to the store, and you come back, you wash all your groceries. Like, we're 3-4 months past that now to where I think you're starting to ease into things, and I don't want to say learn to live with this thing, but I know people are concerned. I know the league's concerned, but at some point, you got to get back to work here and give it a go.
Right, and they're calling the Walt Disney World setup a campus And I think they're using that on purpose. They're not calling it a bubble officially.
Right.
You know, it's just like people just sort of call it a bubble because that was sort of the idea when this began. If you can isolate the players, you could continue to play the game, assuming no one has it.
Right.
But Disney employees who are not residing there are just going home every day. They're not undergoing testing, and they're going to require face masks of the employees, and they're going to tell them to physical distance as best they can. But, I mean, if one person inside the bubble gets it, they can spread it to many others. And so there are GMs that are, again, terrified, according to Sam Amick. There's another quote. It says, in the hindsight of was it worth it? That worries me, said another GM. If something happens, it's the question of was it worth it? If everything goes great, it's historic, and it will be remembered throughout history. Remember the bubble, or whatever they're going to call it? It'll be a special thing as long as we can make it through. Someone else, another GM, the issue is a relative risk to the team's home market, not the risk of the Orlando campus. I believe we're safer in the Orlando campus, given all the precautions. So this GM is saying, yeah, no, it's fine. It's about, are we safer in Orlando than we would be in, let's say, for the Celtics, Boston? We feel like it's safer to be in a bubble in Orlando than it is in any other city. Home markets, home cities, and all the travel that would be involved for all those players. So it's about weighing the relative risk of being in Orlando versus being home, which I understand.
Yeah.
That does make some sense. I get it. That's sort of a positive outlook on it. So that's good. There's one particular head coach, by the way, who is giving some pushback to the NBA.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Who's that?
It says all staff members of finals teams, mind you, will go approximately 3 months without seeing their families. This is Sam Amick again, The Athletic. If nothing else, it's quite the culture shock to each family system after these past 3 months where they were home so much more than ever before. A source said Boston coach Brad Stevens has consistently pushed the league to reconsider its ruling that families of staff members will not be allowed.
I don't blame him.
I don't blame him either. But this gets us back to the catch 22. Okay, do you want to make it?
What's the cutoff? You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, do you want to make this a livable, workable environment? Players who want their families there. Okay, they've got their families there. Good. That makes for a happier player and a more
focused.
Focused. Whatever.
Normal. Okay. You're right.
Normal. Better. Okay, but it's not better to have more people, you know? It's like our roster discussion. Well, if a player gets sick, that's okay. We're going to expand rosters for a lot of these teams and a lot of these leagues. No, because then it's more people, you know? So Brad Stevens pushing to have families there, I get it. I'm with him. I think that's, you know, in best case scenario, that's what you should do. However, you're introducing more people into the bubble, and if your main goal is to pull off a season and to do it without spreading infection, the more people you introduce, the riskier it is in terms of people coming in and introducing the infection to other people.
I mean, how big does that get? If you start letting staff bring, how many more families is that?
Well, I mean, I don't, how many Philip Rivers situations do you have where you have 13 kids?
That's a player. I mean, that's a player, though. Listen, you can't do this without the players, right?
No.
The players had to agree. The players had to agree, and they are the attraction. So if you wanted to get this done and you wanted to have this bubble, sorry, I'm not even going to call it a bubble, the campus, if you wanted to have the Orlando campus, you had to convince them that it was going to be not so bad. And as part of that, you're going to be allowed to bring your family after a little bit of time there. So that alleviated a lot of their concerns, because without the players, they don't have a league and they don't have games. So they needed to give that concession to the players. Coaches, staff, front office? No. That's too many people. That's too many people that are going to be allowed to bring their families. And how big is this operation going to get?
Yeah.
I mean, how many, you know, let's say there's five coaches per staff, okay? And I'm not even counting other staff members that will be there. But if all of them got to bring their family, how huge would this thing get? How many hotels would they need? I don't think it's a fair ask of the NBA, and I think he's going to lose. I think he's going to lose on this request.
He's probably going to lose, but he's also probably speaking up for everybody he talks to within his own organization that are probably found complaints like, hey, Brad, like we want to work, but we can't leave our families for 3 months.
I mean, it sucks. Yeah. I mean, I would
it
not
does.
Want to do
it
that.
It totally does.
But you know what else I wouldn't want to do? I also wouldn't want to bring my family there. I would not want to do that. I would say I don't want to be away from my family, but I'm also not looking forward to putting you on an airplane and bringing you down to Orlando, which is, again, the state of Florida, which is soon to be the epicenter of the virus. Nope, I'm good. You guys stay home. I know you're safe at home. What's the matter?
Chewy.
A little glitch here.
Was it bad?
Just for a second. It's fine.
It a good
What's going on this week?
I don't know.
I think there's a lot of people online, buddy. A lot of internet. A lot of internet out there. Wi-Fi.
You've got a rough week on this front.
Yeah.
It's the weather.
Mine hasn't glitched in a while, has it? We still on delay?
You need to get up on the roof, Beetle, and point your antenna a little more directly at the station. Get that thing.
You had connections.
Get that thing just really lining up, you know? Close one eye if you have to and get that thing just perfect.
You have a screwdriver or something, some gum, some tinfoil. Don't you have Loth come over, plug something in? He's got all that equipment.
Yes. So any other thoughts on Stevens?
Good stuff. No, I think Brad Stevens is doing what he thinks is the best for a harmonious work environment, and I get it.
Healthy.
They want this thing. They want to be able to pull this thing off, and they want to not make people miserable in the process. The issue is, like everything else we've been talking about in these preceding months, that doesn't always jibe with what is going to be the healthiest. Healthiest mentally, yes. Healthiest for stopping the spread of the virus, no. Which is going to be your... What will the league decide is more important?
Physical health. Physical health of the people that they want to protect.
Probably.
Yeah.
And,
but the hey,
but so, if
give,
that were, if
give
that were
some
it,
mentally, right?
Then, if that were really it, though, they wouldn't be playing. And then they wouldn't be going, full steam ahead, heading down to Florida here in a few more weeks.
I have a thought.
So, right.
What? If A equals B, then B equals C, right? Brad Stevens is not worried about the coronavirus at this campus if he wants to bring his family and
that's
the staff's families.
He's
not nervous at all.
That. I would say you're probably right. He probably thinks it's going to be a pretty safe environment. He's probably read all 113 pages.
Well, backwards and frontwards, 13 times.
This story actually makes me feel better about the whole process. If Stevens, who we know does his homework, if he's okay with it, then it makes me feel better about it.
Or it could just be the natural desire to be close to your family, which is, I think, what all of us would desire. You want to go away from your family for 3 months? Your wife and kids?
No.
Jim, would you? I don't think you would.
I hate the West Coast trips. We leave on a Friday. You don't come back till Monday. It's just
I wouldn't want to bring my family into a risky situation. Most importantly, the safety's first. You know what I mean? If you're going to have to go into this situation anyways, yes, I don't want to leave, but I also, in the priority list, I'm ranking the safety and health priority number one.
I think this is a good question, though, about the Celtics, specifically to them. What's going to be the mindset of the Celtics going into Orlando? And is everyone cool with this? And is everyone on board with this, considering whatever it is they've got going on outside of basketball? So for Brad Stevens, he's concerned about being away from his family for months, which is a legit concern. Jason Tatum has been spending a lot of time playing golf instead of playing basketball. We'll get
to
that
story.
They
have nice golf courses down there, too. Like Disney has some of the best golf courses, which is, you got to get ready for that.
Jason Tatum hitting the links. More on that next.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
This is how the pros...
That's great. Thank you, Beetle. You're proud of yourself.
...do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just,
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
More from The Athletic today on your Boston Celtics. By the way, 617-779-0985. The headline is no basketball, no problem. During hiatus, Jason Tatum, he's found a new hobby. A new hobby. He's golfing.
Well, he didn't have a hoop. He didn't have a hoop.
Jason Tatum thriving at golf, it says. Story by Jay King, Celtics beat writer. Oh, this lead is something. Jason Tatum bends at the waist and then leans to his right, holding his follow through the whole time. Like Paul Pierce on a long jump shot, Tatum is trying to will the ball to its intended target, wielding body language as his weapon. When the ball finally drops, Tatum raises his hand in a muted celebration. On a basketball court, he might have skipped or pounded his chest, but here, on a putting green, he acts like the golfer he's hoping to become. Casual, just like many of the pros. Oh, my. Jason Tatum, this is the guy that didn't have a basketball hoop?
Yeah, right.
Just a few weeks back?
Yes.
Well, now he's been able to be on the golf course since they reopened, and that's where he has been. In fact, I hear Hardy's been checking in with his golf course moles.
Well, it's not even a mole because the guy mentioned in the story in The Athletic is Dan Boisvert. And I saw that name. And by the way, a lot of this was coming out last night, and I think Felger and Maz were talking about it. But I was not listening. I wasn't reading. I was not in on anything until about 9:30 last night. When I saw that, I'm like, holy crap. Dan's a buddy of mine. Dan has been on the golf show a lot when we were doing stuff at Core Golf. And Dan is, I think, like maybe lead instructor at Core Golf. And there's, you know, Chris Hawley's out there, and they've got, you know, all these great instructors. But Core is just.
Isn't that where you did your Wiggy thing?
Yes, that's where Wiggy and I did the long drive contest. And Dan is on that video. If you go back and find that video, and who wouldn't want to do that? Wow, that sounds like a good time.
That's probably what Tatum did.
You'll see Dan on that video, right? So I talked to Dan. I'm like, wow, Tatum's legit, huh? And he's like, dude, he is. You know, for someone who just started playing, has only, you know, been out, a handful of times and just picking up the game. He's like, yeah, he's really coming along. I said, well, how often is he going out?
Oh, great.
There? Well, I said, how often is he going
Wonderful.
Out? He's like, yeah, a few times a week, last month or so, the hour and a half at a time. And he's really working on it, getting on the course a little bit. And I look, the immediate reaction for Celtics fans is, why aren't you practicing basketball? But who's
if you hurt your back?
Who's
I like that?
Who's to say he isn't? You know, I just look. I don't like it because apparently he already made his first birdie from 220 yards out. He hit an 8-iron in to 20 feet and then drained the putt. He made a birdie.
Oh, wonderful!
He made a birdie on the golf course.
That's exciting.
Before he
that's
made a par.
So
that's what I'm looking for.
Well, listen, anybody.
Hardy, we've heard from this guy. We've heard about what he's been up to twice during this entire time off. One time it was, I don't have a basketball hoop. I haven't picked up a basketball. And the second story is, he's been going to the golf course, what, 3-4 times a week?
No.
What?
He's going to Core Golf, which is a training facility.
Oh, same thing.
No,
same
it's
diff.
Not, it's not the same thing.
It's the same activity. It's still golf.
Going to the golf course implies that. It implies that you're going to go out and spend a minimum of two hours playing nine holes. If you just show up to hit balls for an hour, that's at Core, which is not a golf course. It is a training facility. Then it is different than going. That was one of their selling points when they first started selling memberships there. Hey, don't have time for golf, but you still, you know, like the game. Join Core Golf as a member. That way you can go out there and you can train, you can practice, and you can spend. And you can spend 30 minutes if you want to. It's not the same time commitment as playing golf three times a week. Not even close.
Does Core offer anything on the basketball? Do they have Core basketball? Is that a thing? Is that should think about?
Are they branching out?
Yeah, I mean, they want to? Listen, if he comes back and he doesn't play well, are we going to talk about this?
Not to my.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Yes, we will. If
what
he comes back and doesn't play
off?
Well,
yes.
We're going to say you didn't get over to Danny Ainge's driveway and instead you drove to the golf facility. We will talk about it.
I'm
warning you right now.
I'm not comparing Jason Tatum to Michael Jordan or Steph Curry, okay? But if you're talking about taking time away from basketball to go play golf, Jordan was doing it in the middle of playoff series. Steph Curry is a legit golfer. Like, he can go out there and hold his own and not embarrass himself with mini tour players at events. And the last time I checked, Steph Curry, pre-injury, was still a pretty good basketball player. For some reason, these two don't seem to interfere with each other. Now, I'm not...
Yes, I would say when he becomes Michael Jordan or Steph Curry, he is allowed to go golfing. That is a great... We can all agree on that. No doubt about it.
I think he's allowed to go now.
And
now,
Tony Romo.
If he goes out there and he looks like he hasn't handled a basketball since March, if and when these guys return to play in Orlando in July, fine. We can have the conversation all over again. But right now, going to CORE a few times a week, getting some lessons, going out and taking some, you know, maybe squeezing in nine holes for a playing lesson.
Yeah.
I got no problem with it.
I could see it now for one of these mid-afternoon games in the bubble down there. You've got Tatum walking in with a Titleist hat on and his golf spikes. Like, oh, sorry, guys. You know, I got in a quick nine this morning. Like,
suck on that, bitches! Guys play golf.
It's, you know what? You know,
every sport. You play golf.
I think Maz is taking lessons from that Holly kid out there at CORE. So, yeah, there you go. He's going to the right place. Maz got a hole in one. Tatum's out there with Dan Boisvera. He's getting his game in order. Dan cannot believe how good he is already.
Maybe that's how this guy's wired. You know, I mean, see, the problem is we come off that Jordan documentary, right? And, like, we got nothing to watch. There's no sports. Then you're reminded, and if you didn't live it or if you didn't know about it, how good Jordan was. We know how good LeBron is. You know, with the death of Kobe and that whole Mamba mentality, those guys are like generational players. Maybe he's not a generational player. Maybe he's just a young kid that's good and just wants to do other things. You know, when basketball stopped, he was one of the best in the league. If he picks up where he left off, this won't be an issue.
And Beadle, I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's an interesting point, I think, Zoe, that as good as he is and as much as we look to him to be the future and the face of this franchise, really top-tier talent, is he generational talent? Is he LeBron, Kobe, Durant in that conversation? And I don't know how much you can discern from the fact that he also likes to play golf right now, but... I don't know. Maybe that's not what is paramount to him, being that generational talent. All I know is that the guy's an athlete, apparently, and he can pick up a game as hard as golf in six easy lessons.
Yeah, 10 lessons, it says here. Since Tatum returned to Boston, Boisvera said he has worked on his star pupil swing over approximately 10 lessons. This is the CORE Golf Center in Natick.
I don't know if this includes the video that Dan posted 22 minutes ago on Instagram, another Tatum video.
Oh, he's there again today. Make that 11.
Suck on that, bitches.
Based on the sky color, I don't think this was like a live Instagram video. This appears to have had a video stored on his phone. It looks like Twilight Golf.
It says Boisvera will set aside one section of the facility so Tatum can have a little bit of privacy from fans.
That's nice.
The two will spend about an hour per session working on swings, then a bit more time on drivers and short game work. So, I mean, what is that, 90 minutes? Hour 45? What are we talking here?
That's a long session.
An hour just
on
swings.
Rattle it off again. Rattle it off again.
An hour on swings. Then a bit more time on drivers. And then short game work.
Part of you golf, you don't even do that.
Oh, God, no.
This sounds like a pretty time-consuming undertaking here that he's gone on. He's devoting himself to this.
The game gets under your skin. What can I tell you?
Tatum hits a bunt driver. He hit a bunt driver 315 yards.
A bunt?
Hey, he'll be good at the Celtic Golf Tournament, right? Do they still do that?
Oh, here you go. Ready for this one?
Yeah.
Ready for this one, Zoe? Boisvera said Tatum has already eclipsed the average swing speed of PGA Tour players, which is 114 miles per hour. He makes half swings at 118 miles per hour.
You know what? I talked to Dan
what
about
size
this.
Are his clubs?
I talked to Dan about this morning. I'm like, why don't you ease up on that?
Really selling it, huh?
Well, if I had a 7-foot wingspan, I could swing a licorice stick and hit 120 miles an hour. I mean, it's all physics. So let's slow down. And by the way, Wiggy was up around 122, and they still haven't found those balls. You know, last time they saw, they were rolling down the Mass Pike going out towards Springfield. You know, so that doesn't necessarily mean good. And when you're that tall and that lanky, you can generate some real club head speed just by virtue of the physics involved. Having said that, the guy is still hitting the ball impressively well for the short amount of time he's been playing.
Someone else tweeted us saying, Josh tweeted us saying, you should follow Tatum on Snapchat. He's been golfing nonstop since the Last Dance documentary. Is that what motivated him? Like seeing Jordan golf?
Probably.
Wanting to be like Jordan? Oh, I have to go golf now?
Oh, God.
That is sad. Josh, good tweet. Follow him on Snap. He's been golfing nonstop since the last dance.
I really hope he's good when they start.
So do I.
Forget what's
I
forget.
So do I.
I really hope he's good. I hope he's.
This is
nothing lost in the legs. Nothing lost in the jump shot. Nothing lost anywhere. Oh, Jason, please, just be good.
Didn't Ray Allen play a ton? Wasn't Ray really?
Yes,
good
he
golfer?
Did. He was a big golfer. He played
a
ton.
But that dude shot every day. How many shots? Like he was
also
go to the
Ray
gym
Allen.
Just shoot right. Yeah. But he was just a machine. Yeah, that's true.
You know, that's yes, Jordan. He did. He golfed a lot. You know what else he was? He was Jordan. Michael Jordan.
Six.
All right, 617-779-0985. I mentioned briefly in passing that the NBA will have afternoon games. We'll tell you some of the details on that and your calls next.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand here at 10:38 on this Thursday. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. With there being so many teams headed to Orlando in the NBA, they're going to have to play some games during the day. That upset you at all?
At first, yeah, then no.
Wait. Start with why it doesn't.
Why it doesn't upset me is because maybe we'll get preempted and carry some live Celtics games early during our shows. I'm joking.
No, you're not.
No, because it's you know what it is. It's because it's summer, and you know you're going to start up at the end of July and August. That's the big vacation months. Not that anybody's really going on vacation this year, but you know just the way you function in your day, and it's 85 degrees out. You're going to run inside to watch a Celtic game.
Yeah.
Or any NBA game. That's all.
We figured this would be the case, right?
Yeah, I mean, you got to take it for what it is.
We thought this would be what happens. And Keith Smith has the details of this. He says in a couple of tweets that the assumption most around the NBA have is that each facility at the Wide World of Sports will host 2 to 3 games per day. First game will probably start early afternoon, then a break of 2-plus hours for cleaning. And then the next game, staggered schedule between 3 facilities for TV windows. Magic CEO Alex Martins just told the Orange County, Florida officials that NBA games will be played all day long at the 3 facilities. At Walt Disney World, he said there will also be stringent sanitation processes between games. So They've got whatever their plan might be to have extra time between games for cleaning. There'll be time for, you know, a proper warm-up, I guess, of each team. And that means they're going to have to play all day.
Yeah.
Normally, I would say that's a bit of a problem. Normally, I would say that's, you know, that's not really great for the sport. But these are such unusual circumstances. One, I don't think anyone cares. And two, I think that you're at the point now where we've been without live sports for so long. If you know the outcome of a game, are you still going to watch it right now if it happened that day? Let me give you an example. Okay. You're at work all day.
No.
You know,
that's a quick no, but go ahead.
You know the Celtics are on. Yeah. You know they're playing a game. You find out that, well, you know, it's probably easier if you find out they won the game. And there's a two-hour replay that they're going to put, you know, let's Celtics in two on NBC Sports Boston. Mm-hmm. The game was at 1 o'clock, but they're going to replay it at 7. Are you going to check in on that game?
I think you'll check in and out.
I would.
Yeah. Especially if it's your team. Yeah. Think about that. Like, say it'd be like a Patriots game, you know. But you know the outcome. You want to look in, see how Stidham played. Yeah.
Not to mention there are 45 million people currently unemployed and millions more who are working from home now.
Sure.
Who have their television in front of them?
Or you could be like Jim Louth, who just turns your phone off, turns his ringer off, and silences because he doesn't want to know the outcome. Jim's done that before.
And let me give you one more. If you are at work. And you're doing a job, but you can have access to a radio. Would you rather listen to the Celtics game that's live and happening, or would you rather listen to us or Felgren Mazz? You'd rather listen to the game.
I'd go us.
Right?
Yeah. You would think so. You want to listen to Grandy and Max? Sure.
Yeah. The second I know anything about the game, though, I'm not watching it later. That's
my tough part.
That's why I end up listening on
the
radio. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? If it was winter, maybe. Summer, I'm telling you, it's going to be a tough give and go with the summer months.
I mean, I'll still watch, you know, the highlights and stuff, and I think we've all it's been so long, but there's that, like, highlight package you can get to on a lot of platforms. Xfinity, links you to, like, this YouTube thing where it gives you, and it's a nice long highlight package. It's, like, sometimes, like, 8-10 minutes long, depending on the game, and you can watch that. So I'll watch those regardless, but like regular mid-season games, if I find out the score and if I'm recording it, I'm like, oh no, screw it. Now I'm not.
So you're playing a good team though. Yeah, say you're playing the Lakers. Say you're playing.
Yeah,
you'll
exceptions.
Go out of your way more to watch those. Yeah.
I have a feeling those will be scheduled for prime time though.
Yeah.
Safe bet. Yeah.
How's T-Bone's leg, Jim?
Oh,
you guys, your T-Bone got a hard just accident there.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Is it bad?
It's. I would love for him to show it on camera because he's got to pull up his shorts a little bit. And his quads, they're thick. I don't know. He's doing some squats or something while he doesn't have any. I don't know what he's putting on his back.
What's Suzanne Summers have, that thing she squeezed? Maybe he's
the Thighmaster. Yeah.
Thighmaster.
Maybe he's doing it. But
it's graphic.
He was crawling around underneath the console there, and a panel fell on him and scratched his his deliciously brown and muscular thigh. And he had no problem showing me, and I had no problem looking. Let me tell you something. It is a sight to behold. Come on, T-Bone.
Come on, T-Bone. At least point to where it is. We just at least want to know where the injury is, where the wound is.
Show us the scratch.
I can't show it. It's graphic.
What are you going to hoedown later? Yeah. Are you going to hoedown later? What do you have around your neck?
That's his mask. That's his mask. Bandana. That he's
I thought you were going to Country Fest or something, like some hoedown.
I might be. I wish.
Yeehaw.
I can't dance though with this leg injury.
Hardy, inner thigh, outer thigh? What are we talking here?
Unfortunately, outer.
Okay.
Yeah, but you didn't have to get so close.
I wanted to lick the wound like a lab, you know?
My dog would lick that.
I know. It's the best thing about having a dog. You get if one of the kids gets, you know, their knee scratches, I'm like, hold on.
I swear to God.
Come here. Yeah,
I swear to God, I scraped my shin like 2 years ago. And I'm laying there asleep in bed, and I wake up, and the dog's licking it. Let's get in there. Clean that thing, baby. Get down in there. Oh, that feels so good. Itching.
How about this? I'll take a picture of it and send it to you guys.
Great.
Okay.
Don't try not to get too close.
Pray for me.
Makes him uncomfortable. Yeah. Just a little bit.
I don't think it does.
Yeah, I think maybe a wee bit. A wee bit. Coming up, the PGA did not cancel their tour yesterday, as some people had called and asked if that was legit. That was a rumor, I guess. That didn't happen. But the latest on the PGA protocols, it sounds like there may have been a little bit of a loophole there in their protocols. But we'll get to that coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Out where the river broke, the bloodwood and the desert oak.
Hardy, what happened in the PGA yesterday? They have refined their protocols.
They have. And
it seems like there was a little gap there in the protocol.
I think there were some loopholes that they closed, maybe. Is the best way of putting it. So
this is amazing.
This started last week when Nick Watney tested positive.
Yep.
And then he had a couple of caddies test positive and forced it. I mean, it's only on TV right now, but believe it or not, Brooks Koepka is a draw for people now. I mean, the guy wins a couple of U.S. Opens. He's won a few majors inside of a couple of years. People want to watch him play. And he had to withdraw because his caddy came down with it. Graham McDowell had to withdraw because his caddy came down with it. So they said they are going to have some serious repercussions for offenders now. Oh. After these first three tests. So, what are they going to do? They are going to make changes for players who take tour-arranged charter flights between events. In addition to the Saturday test that has to be negative for them to board on Monday, they'll be required to take another test at the tournament site, just as those who travel on their own are doing. So, same protocol whether you're taking the tour charter or you're flying private.
Makes sense.
Okay?
Makes complete sense.
Instructors have been permitted on site and on the driving range, much like Dan Boisvert helping out Jason Tatum.
Right.
Same thing.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
They will, I can't believe this wasn't the case before, they will now be subject to the same testing protocols as the players.
You idiots. You idiots.
The guy
that
is
to
like,
me is
the only guy
astounding.
You can have contact with has not been tested.
Astoundingly stupid. What are they doing?
Yeah.
It's golf.
For the first three events, they're in Fort Worth and then at Harbortown, and now they're in Cromwell, Connecticut. They weren't requiring the instructors to be tested. Also, the fitness trailer. The tour's fitness trailer will be on site starting next week at the Rocket Mortgage Classic with protocols in place. Now, this seems like counterproductive, but they want to keep players out of local gyms. And a lot of these guys work out daily.
Why does it seem counterproductive? It's not only a way to get them to stay out of the gym. I'm sure they have it sponsored too, right?
Don't go into would you go into a fitness trailer right now where somebody was in there a few minutes ago working out if you wanted to not get coronavirus?
If it's another player that's been tested and he's negative,
I'd be fine.
Hardy, if again, this is more like the NBA where it's relative danger. Do you want him going into a local gym where there's 25 different people that use the room that day?
Right.
Or do
you
want him going into the trailer where there's PGA players only and they've all had routine testing?
Right.
I'd rather have him in the trailer.
Well, that's what they're doing. The tour is also going to provide a stipend to players and caddies who test positive and are required to self-isolate. Jay Monahan, the commissioner.
Wait a minute.
Said players and caddies will need to follow protocols to receive that stipend.
What's so the stipend like? So they can pay for a hotel room or something? Yeah, what are we doing?
You're going to get paid to get Corona? Well, that's awesome.
Well, caddies are out there making 10% of what their players make. I mean, that's a standard, you know, caddy contract. And if your guy is, you know, finishing in a tie for 40th and not making a lot of money, you're not making a lot of money. And, oh, then on top of it, he gets coronavirus. You don't have any money. you're That's literally not making any income that week. And there's, you know, some of these players on tour are not making a lot of money. They're making a nice living by, you know, standards across the country, but not for quota, you know, not for being one of the best 200 in the world at your given profession. You would think, you know, each one of these guys be making something in line with a Major League Baseball, you know, minimum player salary. Not the case for professional golfers, and of course, much, much less for the caddies. Guys out there maybe making 150, 200 grand, and that's in their winnings, and caddies are making 10% of that. And now, the caddies have their travel picked up, but the players don't have their travel picked up. If depending on your sponsorship deal, maybe you get some help with that, and you're getting something in the way of endorsements for wearing, you know, Titleist on your cap, or Travis Mathew or Callaway or something. But that's an important part of it, you know, especially for, you know, some of those bubble players and their caddies. If they got to lock down for a week and a half, how the hell am I supposed to eat? I don't have any money.
That feels like a little bit of a thankless job.
Yeah.
Right. What, caddy for?
It must be great if you're you know, and you end up as Tiger Woods' caddy. But
Stevie Williams was the most famous caddy, maybe
fluff,
ever, right?
Yeah. Fluff.
You can argue he did nothing. Tiger had to hit, but players will tell you differently. You know, they need their caddies to do all kinds of stuff. And oh, by the way, we did see what some of these guys play like when they don't have caddies there. Remember the Rory and Dustin match? Those guys were missing, you know, 10 and 12 footers that we expect to see them make. They don't have caddies there with their green books helping them with the reads on a lot of these greens. So the caddies do their job. I think it's kind of thankless. And then to get back to Stevie Williams' point, at the height, when he was at the height of his career as the most famous caddy of all time, he did very well, but it was $1 million a year. And for that, he had to pay his own way back and forth to Australia to, you know, make it to the States for the tour and stuff. I mean, for a guy who is the greatest to ever play the game, who ended up making $1 billion in golf, the caddy got $1 million a year. So it's good. It's real good money. It's real good money. But is it on par with what other people get in other sporting professions? You know, think of him as being like one of the head coaches for the most successful team of all time. Would you expect them to make a little bit more than that?
Yeah.
I mean,
a little bit.
There are bad offensive coordinators on bad teams making three times that in the NFL. Stevie Williams was making $1 million a year. So, yeah, for those caddies who got to be hold up in a hotel for a while, I'm sure that money is much appreciated.
Hey, Zoe, we've got a couple of minutes here before the top of the hour. I know there's a story that you wanted to hit on today, not a golf story, but a story related to humans battling to reclaim their town from crazy monkeys.
Did you see the percentage? And we talked about the macaques a while back. Remember the one stole the coronavirus, the positive test files?
Yes.
And took them out of the scientist's lab coat while they were eating lunch?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a ratio of 750,000 people in this town compared to 6,000 monkeys now. And the fact that the monkeys are now fighting over minuscule food. And what they do is they bring all the tourists in this town. I got to look up the damn town. I don't know we're going to do this right now. But
yeah, I did just sort of throw this at you because I know it's in Thailand.
But it's in Thailand. These are always in Thailand.
Right? I don't know anything about the place.
So tourists would come in and they would welcome the tourists because the tourists would come in and feed the monkeys and take pictures and that. Now all of a sudden with coronavirus, the tourism is down. So now the macaques are taking over this town. So now all of a sudden they're binge eating off candy and candy bars, and it's making them sex crazy. All this sugar that these monkeys are eating, and they're breeding like rabbits. So now all of a sudden they have this if this was like a concern, right? You got deer season here.
Yeah.
What do? You open up deer season, so you go out and you kill the deer because you don't want overpopulation of deer running around. Why wouldn't you start eliminating the monkeys? This is the whole problem with the sharks and the seals. You know, you start protecting these things. Next thing you know, they start they're popping up everywhere. Eating candy bars, having sex in the middle of the streets, fighting over stacks of bananas. Like this, if we get out of this thing, that's a place where I might want to go, just to sit there and watch these things. Could you imagine being in that town square and watching these monkeys just sort of take over the city. And we've talked about this before. The primates are they're smarter than people think they are. And they got a leg up, and they're going to rule the world one day.
So what do you think is going to happen there?
I would bring how, people and, from the I would bring snipers from the outside and start picking them off.
You'd start killing the monkeys.
I'd start picking them off because
this is like your favorite animal.
I mean,
why
I
is it that every time we talk about animals, you end up telling us you want to kill the animals? Every conversation about animals ends with
I
want to
kill the apex predator. You kill the apex predator. So what do you want? You want a snake? You know what?
Kill the snake. Kill the shark. Kill the seals.
Next time I find one of those sweet little milk snakes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put it in a shoebox. I'm going to bring it to Quincy, and I'm going to give it to your kids and let them play with it in the backyard. You don't want your kids getting bitten by
well,
that.
Well, no, I don't understand
you go
how
to the beach. You're going to go to
I don't understand
beach
how if you don't kill it, you then have to play with it. Like, no, those are not. That's not.
You're making
how it
fun
works.
Of me for killing the snake. No. I thought it was a predator.
Like, oh, if you don't want me to kill the monkeys, I'm going to drive you there and throw you into a pile of monkeys. Well, wait, why do I have to do that?
I'm just asking
that you not kill the monkeys. I'm asking that you not kill the seals. What is this?
We should kill the sharks. I do think we should do that. But I'm telling you, and I've told you this before, one of my favorite places to ever visit is Monkey Jungle down in Miami.
How do you feel about plovers? You got anything on that?
On what?
On the little birds, the nesting birds on the beaches across the state.
I don't care about those. They're non-threatening. Now, you get overpopulated by these monkeys. It's that whole Wiggy theory of, like, you want to fight one big monkey or you want, like, 10,000 monkeys running around. They can become problematic. Think about the disease they spread. They can't be the cleanest things, right?
I don't know anything about it. Could you inform me as to the disease that monkeys spread?
Yeah, what kind of diseases are they spreading?
You go to Monkey Jungle. They said, don't put your fingers in there because it's not the cleanest thing.
I'm not talking about Monkey Jungle. We're talking about monkeys in the wild.
Well, that is a protected sanctuary for monkeys, too. So that's got to be one of the safest, cleanest areas.
Some of the details on this story in Thailand. As Zoe said, they're feeding them junk food to keep the peace. It's like battling protesters. You've got to try and keep some peace here. If somebody gets out of control, some are feeding them junk food to keep the peace, but others think the sugar is making them breed faster, as Zoe mentioned. And the city is now carrying out a mass sterilization program to try and bring their numbers under control.
Imagine that, fighting corona and then fighting the spread of these monkeys. Hardy.
You imagine giving a monkey a vasectomy?
Do they still make Bit of Honey? The candy bar?
Oh, you can get a bit of honey.
You can
get
a bit of honey still?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
See, I would pass out Bit of Honey because they would just sit there and chew all day. Then they wouldn't have time for sex. They'd be eating a bit of honeys.
To Zoe's point, the monkeys are all over the place in Barbados when we were there, and they're not indigenous to the island. Apparently, they got there. By on board like container ships.
Yeah, but they adapt quick. They're good like that.
Well, let me tell you, and I think they're called green monkeys is the species, and they're the cutest damn things, and they're all over the golf courses. There's one golf course called Apes Hill because they look like, and they're so cute running around. So after we're there for a couple of days, develop a rapport with one of the guys who worked the courses. I say, how do you feel about the monkeys here? He said, honestly.
Is that Franklin?
He said, no. I'm not going to say what golf course. He said, they're like squirrels, and they are a pest. And he said, they get into farmers' crops, and they'll take a piece of fruit, one bite, and then toss it over their shoulder. You see them. They're like bastards.
Monkeys.
And I said, are they?
They don't care. They don't care. We're gonna do what we want to do.
And they're everywhere. I said, are they protected? He said, oh, no. I'm like, do you do anything to cull the population? He said, oh, yeah. But it's not talked about. It's not because the tourists come and they're like, oh my God, monkeys, they're so cute. They're everywhere and they're gentle and they're fun and they're frolicking. It's like, uh-huh. All right. Well, we'll wait till the tourist season dies down a little bit and then we'll get control of our island nation back a little bit because otherwise they would just be everywhere.
Well, the ones in Thailand are macaques. They're
Is that how you say that?
It is.
Is that the correct pronunciation?
Yes.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.